Turn to Jeremiah chapter 42. Well, my two girls, well, they are not here, so it's easy for me to say something about them. When they were young, you know, they really want us to do a lot of things. You know, when they were young, you promised them a lot of things too. And it was okay to promise this and that because when they were really young, they did not remember what I said or Simo said because they were so young, they were distracted. You know, you say, oh, I want to buy this toy. I'll say, okay, I'll buy you this one. Maybe a couple of days later, they already forgot about it. But as they grow older, then you know that they remember those promises that we make. And then sometimes they will bring it up, but they are still too small, and they could not fight back. You know, if you do not do whatever you promise, they just kept quiet. But as they get older, now it's a trouble time because they actually challenge me or Simo. You know, you said that. You promised, you know, to do this and do that. And then we say, okay, okay, okay. And then later on, we get smarter, right? As our parents, we don't promise anything anymore because we know once we promise, oh man, they remember. They, you know, they come back to you. They really ask for it, and then they get really upset, you know, and all these wonderful things happening in our lives. And so we said that maybe we should not make any promise to our kids, or even before we made it, and we say we have to really think about this before I say yes or no. Keeping promise are very difficult sometimes. But I think this is what God is asking us to do, and promise to be kept, not to be broken. If you look at chapter 42, Jeremiah, this is a story, in a bigger story, because the bigger story is the Babylonians come and conquer Judah. You know, Jerusalem was, destroyed, all those are big events. And then after that, the story is like this, chapter 42. But if you have time, you need to go back and read the background, what is happening, why we have verses 5 and 6. The background was, you know, the Babylonian came. They took all the rich people, noble people, and so-called smart people to Babylon. So there are some leftover people in the land of Judah. And they find somebody from the royal family to become a governor. And Judah became a province. And it was going well because this guy seems he was a good guy. I can't pronounce his name. So if you look at chapter 40 and chapter 41, then you know these governors. And after he became a governor, all these people became refuge, you know, because when Babylon came, as usual, when war started, a lot of people just fled. So there were a lot of refugees. Now they're coming back, because they thought, well, peace finally came to this land, so we better come back. And then there's another guy in the story, Ishmael. He was part of the royal family, royal blood. So he was jealous of this governor, and he found a way to kill him, and then took all the people with him, tried to run away, and the story continued to go, and some people, the generals, one of them was Johanna. He find the other crew, his crew, chase after this Ishmael, and rescue the people. So they brought them back, and they stay near Bethlehem. And that was the background. So when they came back, if you look at the end of chapter 41, then we know that they already have a plan what to do. But for some reason, I've been reading these chapters in the last few days, I still could not find find a real answer for that. Why did they ask Jeremiah? Why did they tell him that, you know, verses 5 and 6, we will obey God, you know, whatever he says, you know, we're going to do it. Even though it seems unfavorable, we will still follow. But in their hearts, chapter 41, the end of chapter 41, they already said that they are going to Egypt. They are planning to leave. So I have a few points to share with you today about this story. You know, people came back. It was after the war. It was after the assassination of the governor. And these generals rescued those refugees again. And they stayed in Bethlehem. They had a plan. They wanted to go to Egypt to get away from wars and troubles and famines, which normally If we are in a war situation, I think we would do the same thing. We would just flee. We would just leave. So that was their plan. But somehow, chapter 42, they came to Jeremiah, asking him to pray for them, to seek God's will. Interestingly, is they already have a plan in their hearts, and they still came. So that is the story. That is the background. So let's come to chapter 42. Then I have 3 points to share with you. And then if you read 5 and 6, they said that, let the Lord be a true and faithful witness between us if we do not do according to everything which the Lord your God sends us by you, whether it is pleasing or displeasing. Different version. We will obey the voice of the Lord our God to whom we send you, that you might be well with us when we obey the voice of the Lord our God. So beautiful, said. You know, I wish we can say something like that, even in our words. At least they said that. But as I said, they already came with a plan. They are going to Egypt. For some unknown reason, they came to ask for Jeremiah. No, what would God say about this? We want to follow him. You know, just ask for us on behalf of our you know, this bunch of people. We are in big trouble. The situation is very difficult. You have to understand that. I mean, for us, it's very hard because if you watch news these days, you see there's a lot of disasters, wars are going on. You know, we have to imagine, if you are in the middle of all this, don't you have a plan? Would you? So I think it's quite normal to have a plan. But at the same time, they ask God about, you know, what would you want us to do? So Jeremiah said that, okay, I will pray for you. I'll be on your behalf. And they said that no matter is it good or not good, well, some scripture said it's a evil. Good or evil, we will obey the voice of Jehovah our God. Different version. You know, the older version will say good or evil. Evil actually doesn't mean really evil, just inconvenience. If the answer from God will cause inconvenience, we will still follow. Will you pray like that? Will I pray like that? But that is the desire. That is, and from words, that's what they said to Jeremiah. And it was recorded in the Bible. That was their commitment to God and say that, you tell us what to do, whatever it is, we will do it. In a desperate situation, brothers and sisters, we made a lot of promises. Sometimes we make promise because, as I said, we are in a very desperate situation. We want to make deal with God, make a deal, you know. God, if you do this, I will do that, something like that. Sometimes we actually try to be nice to God, try to do something first, like reading the Bible, do some devotions, go to church regularly, hoping God will be pleased to listen to our prayer. At least we make deal with God in a very bad situations a lot of time. And this group of people, they were doing the same thing, I believe. They were in very, very bad situations. The circumstances was terrible because now they were afraid Babylonian will come because they killed the governor, right? Somebody killed the governor, and they were so afraid that they would come and just kill them all. So they will have a plan. They want to run away. That is the environment that they were in. That is the situation they made this promise, this commitment. So the first point I want you to get is that situation, in a very tough situation, in a fearful situation, often we make a commitment or we make a promise to God. And then, of course, the answer came back. Jeremiah, after 10 days, you know, it's very interesting because they did not give the deadline to Jeremiah and say, okay, I'll give you a week. You tell us the answer. Or I'll give you 2 months. Then you give us the answer. They just say, pray for us. Pray to our God. And let us know what you hear from him. And they were sitting there waiting for 10 days. You know, I have to give them a credit for this. Because in such a bad situation, they still stay there and wait for Jeremiah. So after 10 days, the answer came back. Maybe they were waiting for something like that, like Genesis chapter 46. If you have a Bible, if you have time, go back and read Genesis chapter 46. You might remember Jacob was about to go to Egypt because there was a famine. His son Joseph, became really powerful in Egypt. So he was about to leave for Egypt. And chapter 46, verses 1 to 7, God told Jacob, it's okay, go to Egypt. Go now, and you will become a great nation when you stay there. The land became very, tough to live on. It's time to move on. Maybe they were waiting something like that, waiting for some God's promise. Go to Egypt in peace, I will look after you, don't worry about it, then you will become a big nation again, maybe something like that. They were thinking, because the situation is very similar. The land cannot, they cannot stay here anymore, just like Jacob and his sons could not stay there anymore. And God said, go to Egypt. I will bless you, I will protect you, and I will go with you. And you will become a great nation. Maybe they were waiting for something like that from the Lord. It's very logical, brothers and sisters. It's a very logical expectation. In a tough situations, when we pray, when we have a plan, the plan is very logical, reasonable. We thought God is going to bless us. God is going to say, yes, go and do. And so they were thinking about like that. And then chapter 42, verses 9 to 12. The word came back and the Lord said that stay in this land. Stay here and I will bless you. You'll be, no problem. Even the Babylonians will bless you. If you go to Egypt, God already knew their hearts. If you go to Egypt, there will be disasters. The disasters will follow you until all of you will be dead. You may ask, how come they want to go to Egypt? Again, it's a background, because even though they know they came from Egypt and they were slaves, but at this point, in Jeremiah's time, they have a golden rule. You heard that before. The enemy of my enemy is my friend. The enemy of my enemy is my friend. So they figure these two huge nations, Babylon, Egypt, they were at war all the time. So they thought maybe the enemy of my enemy is my friend, which is Egypt. So maybe we should go to Egypt. Maybe God is going to bless us. Just like Genesis, when God told Jacob. Logical conclusion. But at the end, the word came back. They did not expect that. They did not expect God told them to stay in this land of wars. So many people died. Jerusalem was destroyed. Nothing left. And God said, stay here. You will be prospered. You will be blessed. How many of us will stay in a war zone? And the enemy is coming because the governor was killed. So somebody will be, telling the king of Babylon, and someone will come to investigate, and a lot of people will be dead. So they were afraid. The logical conclusion from their minds will go to Egypt. So what did they do? Second point, a promise broken. If you continue to read chapter 43, you'll know why they broke this promise, their commitment. The words in 5 and 6, verses 5 and 6, was beautifully made to God and say, we are going to follow you, whatever you tell us to do, even though, it might be inconvenient for us, it might be hard for us, but we will follow. We will do it because we believe if we follow your words, your blessing will come upon us. They said that, but they don't believe what they said. When words of God came back, it was not what they wanted. They broke this promise. wonderful verses 5 and 6. As I said, it was just beautifully made. You know, I wish everybody can say something like that. This commitment, this promise to God. Finally, I think we find out why they broke this promise. Chapter 43. No, they left. They actually went to Egypt. By chapter 43, they left. They took everybody, including Jeremiah. They took him too. So they moved to Egypt. They stayed there. And then chapter 43 tells us why they broke this promise. Because if you read it, you will say, you will see this. You speak falsely. One of the proud men, okay, scripture described this proud man spoke to Jeremiah. You speak falsely. The Lord our God has not sent you to say, do not go to Egypt to dwell there. And there was a scandal. They believed there was a scandal. Somebody tell Jeremiah to say something like that so that, you know, they will be harmed or they will be, you know, taken away captive to Babylon again. So that was the reason. The second thing we need to learn. Because when we break promises, a lot of time because we do not believe in people. They do not believe Jeremiah. They do not believe he was speaking for God. They thought there was a scheme behind the scene. Someone tried to capture them. So when we make promise, when we break promises, the first one is tough situations. It's so tough that we don't believe staying there will be safe. We have a plan to escape. Point two, the reason we break promise because we don't believe in people. They don't believe Jeremiah because they think he was trying to trick them. God did not say anything about staying in Judah. Well, it sounds like an excuse to me because they did not directly attack God at this point. The reason they broke promise, they gave themselves reason is because we cannot believe those leaders. Jeremiah, you know, the prophet of God, but I think that he was playing some political stuff behind the scene. He was trying to, you know, trick us and then ask us to stay. Either we will get killed or we will be captive again. So they did not believe God's people. They did not believe people around them. And then they will continue this conversation. Then we find out the third reason why they would not keep their promise. Chapter 44. In chapter 43, we began to see their hearts. You know, they actually do not believe. They did not believe Jeremiah. They did not believe the leaders, spiritual leaders. And then chapter 44, they finally comes to the reality, because right now they are, you know, staying in Egypt. Seems pretty good. Now they think it's safe to tell the truth. Chapter 44, verse 16-18. They actually said that, well, it was not God who protected us. It was not God who gave us all these wonderful things in Judah. It was an idol. Chapter 44, verses 16-18. There was an idol, actually, bless us, when we were in Judah. We worshiped her when we were in Judah. We worshiped this idol even before the war was coming and destroyed Jerusalem, destroyed our country. We already worshiped this idol, and this idol gave us prosperity. And then we stopped for a while. So famine, all these bad things happened. Now we should give her an offering again. Worship her again. Isn't it scary, you know? The reason we break promise to God is because actually we don't really believe in him. We believe something else. We believe in something else. This group of people finally tell us what is in their hearts. They don't believe in God's people. They don't believe in God in the first place. They worship idols even when they were in Judah. In their hearts, there was no God, the true God. They were already worshiping idols when they were in Judah. Brothers and sisters, I don't know why we break our promises to God or commitment to God. I think one of those must be something here, tough situations, unbelievable tough situations that we are in. So we cannot, and we would not, and we do not want to keep our promise. Secondly, could be because we do not believe the people. The people said that, you know, if you do this, you know, it would be wonderful. But I don't believe what they say. And they're asking us to make a promise, just like your pastors always ask you to make commitment to God, you know, preaching here, asking you to pray to God, you know, make a commitment, whatever. A lot of time you don't even believe what people say. And the third, the last, ultimately, is the problem that we don't even believe in God in the first place. We don't believe he will deliver. We don't believe he will protect. We don't believe he will keep his promises. But we still try to make commitment to God. There's an oil tycoon, lay his deathbed, you know, he's a very rich, powerful man because he's in the oil business. So his pastor talked to, you know, he asked his pastor, you know, can you pray for me? If God heals me, I will give the church $1 million. And so I'm not sure the pastor really prayed for him because of that $1 million or not, but I'm sure he prayed for him. So miracle happened, you know. I think we have seen this before. And some people, we thought that they were about to pass away, but they actually turned around. And this man revived, and within a few short weeks, he was out of the hospital. So several months later, this pastor actually reminded him, you know, when you were in hospital, you said that you would give the church $1 million. But we are still waiting. Then this rich man said, well, did I say that? I guess that goes to how sick I really was. You know, he could not remember he said that. Keeping promise is very important. I think a lot of nations, even you turn on the TV nowadays, Ukraine, Russia, they try to sign treaties, you know, peace, making peace, Israel, Gaza, you know, try to sign just a few hours. And they still break those treaties. Nobody believe one another because the situation was so tough. We cannot believe in you, I cannot believe in you, and all these things. And the last point I want to share with you is that God has kept his promise. Even though we made promises, we make commitments, we break them one by one with different reasons, excuse. As I said, situation is too tough to keep the promise. I don't believe people, the one that invite me to make this commitment. And thirdly, I don't even believe in God with all my heart. But God has kept his promise. If God have not kept his promise, do you think we have a Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ? The situation was not perfect. Where John chapter 1 tells us that when Jesus came, John chapter 1 said that we rejected him. So he was in a very tough situation. He came knowing we sinners living in dark. He's going to reject him. But he still came. He was rejected and betrayed by his disciples. talking about trusting others. People betray him. People rejected him. As I preached many times, a few times in the past, you know, he was asking his disciples, will you continue to follow me? And a lot of people left. Rejection, betrayal. Yet he still came. He struggled in the garden, you know, at the end, should I die for these people? But he kept his promise. He died on the cross for each one of us. And today we're going to remember. We are here because God kept his promise. We are here because Jesus went through all this and he still keep his promise. He still follow God's will because he believed in God. So ultimately, I think the reason we do not keep our promises is something to do with our relationship with God. I think that's the bottom line. Situation was tough. When Jesus came, he came. He knew people was going to betray him, cannot be trusted, but he still came. The only reason why he died on the cross and become our Savior because he believed in God. He followed the will of God. And I hope that each one of us can do the same thing. Yes, situation will not be any better when we make commitments to God. Nobody can promise you the situation will get better. But he's asking us to do that. Yes, people cannot be trusted. A lot of time, yes, we are sinners. What can you say? But that should not stop you to make commitment to God, because he can be trusted. And I think it would be fair just for us to keep our commitments to him, because he has kept his promises. He has committed himself to us, and I hope we can do the same. It's not going to be easy. Just like Daniel's friends. I just love this passage. I just want to read it to you. Daniel's chapter 3, verses 17 to 18. Three friends was about to be thrown into a furnace. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God whom we serve is able to save us. They believe in God. He will rescue us from your power, your majesty. Just like what they said, Jeremiah chapter 42. Very trusting. Whatever God do, we will believe in him. But in verse 18, but even if he doesn't, we want to make it clear to you, your majesty, that we will never serve your gods or worship the gold statue you have set up. They met what they said because they were put into the furnace. But Jeremiah chapter 42, this group of people, they did not follow what they said, because they did not believe truly in God. Do you believe in God? I ask myself these questions many times. Do I truly believe in God? Let's pray. Our Father, we give you thanks for this story. This story tells us the reality check about humanity, about our faith in him, in you. Lord, those words are beautifully made, commitment, promise, that they will follow you regardless whether it will be easier or difficult. But Lord, in their hearts, it was far away from the truth. They were not ready to follow, because in their hearts, there were idols in their hearts. They did not believe you would bring blessings, peace, perspectives in their lives. They rather believe in idols. They gave credit to idols. But Lord, we just ask you today, in our hearts, what occupy our throne? Is it God, you, or something else, or someone else? Lord, we know that the situation will not get any better in our lives. There will be ups and downs. There will be people around us that will betray us, disappoint us. And this is simply part of life. But Lord Jesus, you went through all this because you believe in your Heavenly Father. And he has determined to do the will of God. And today, we are here to worship our Lord Jesus Christ because he has kept his promise to be our Savior and Lord of our lives. Lord, we thank you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.